How to love family Sundays. I just love seeing the kids get up here and all and see their excitement and joy, and hopefully it's contagious for all of us. We all must become as little children. And good stuff. Good example Tim gave. Good teaching there and great time of worship and great to gather together with you. So welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning. Well, we're here to see what God would want to say to us through His Word, so let's get to it. We are going through the Sermon on the Mount. We're in chapter 5 of Matthew. Go to Matthew 5:13. That's where we left off. Now, the ushers have come down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible if you need one. Just raise your hand. They'll pass the Bible to you. It's yours to keep if you need it. And for all of us, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, 13. Matthew 5:13 declares, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Familiarity, unfortunately, can cause us to tune out. And if you've been around the church very long, especially if you grew up in the church and all, you've heard a lot of messages, made a lot of crafts, done all the things along the way that drive home and talk about this whole issue of salt and light. But let's not let familiarity keep us from hearing God and what He'd have for us in this morning. I encourage you, stay open to this. Stay fresh to it. Hear it as something fresh, as a fresh encouragement and a fresh challenge for us this morning. There's no doubt these are well-known portions of Scripture, well-known examples. But they are so very challenging. The illustration is one that's straightforward, isn't it? It's speaking of salt, it's speaking of light, and it speaks really of the influence. It's speaking of influence or impacting our environment for Jesus. But the challenge is, are we? That's where Jesus goes with this. Are we impacting our environment? I've called our time together this morning, salt and light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the children. Truly, they are a blessing from you. And so we lift the children to you, that as they go to their classes, they'll be well taught and encouraged and ministered to. That indeed always, Lord, thank you, Lord, for them and watch over them and guide them. But as we pray for them, we pray for ourselves too, Lord. Help us to hear from you. Help us to grow in you. And Lord, specifically in this time, in this place, as we once again think about salt and light, help us, Lord, not to tune out, but help us to really hear from you, to hear maybe in a fresh way, a new way, or at least again, just a fresh take, an encouraging take on what you want to say to us and then through us in all of this. So Lord, we look to you now. Thank you for this awesome work that you've committed yourself to. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't want you to raise your hand or answer in any other way because I'm not here to catch you or embarrass you or anything. Don't want you to go home and say, "Man, you really made me look silly." That's not the idea. But I want you to think about something. Again, not to be answered out loud or raising your hand. But I wonder how many here this morning think that Jesus calls us to be salt and light. I wonder if I were to ask you to raise your hand, don't do it. But if I were to say, how many here think that Jesus has called us to be salt and light, would raise their hand. Think about that for a moment. I wonder if you'd raise your hand. Let me follow that by saying this. Do you know that Jesus never calls us to be salt and light? Never anywhere in Scripture can you find any place that it says we're to be salt and light. Pastor, you just read it. Nope. Look what it says carefully. Does it say we're to be salt and light? What does it say? You already are. See, the idea of be salt and light says you better go out here and pull your bootstraps. You better make that change in yourself. You better do all these things. You better be salt and light. But it says what? You are. You are salt. You are light. I'm going to use a couple of visuals. You know I had to use visuals for this one. You know it. Salt shaker from the staff kitchen. I'm going to put that up here to remind us of salt. Now, if I get a little exuberant and bump the pulpit and it falls off, it's okay. Don't panic. It's just salt. And I'm going to use a flashlight. Now, I'm not going to put the flashlight up here because that definitely probably would fall or roll off. So just, I'll kind of lay it up here and you'll know that there's a flashlight right there that is an example. Help us drive home the point if we want to get from all this morning. But see, the point that he's making here is you are salt. You are light. The entrance of the Lord into your life. If you've received Christ as Savior, you are that already because of who resides in you. Now, the question isn't you have to become that. His question is, do you still have your flavor? Have you lost your flavor as salt, is what he sets before us. Are you hiding your light? You're already a light, but are you hiding it? That's his focus and ours this morning. You know, you hear that statement that we're salt and light. And again, you might hear that and you go, salt and light. I mean, you look in the mirror, we look at our shortcomings, we look at our struggles and we go, salt and light? Me? Yes, you are salt and light. He says so. How? How are we that? As we live out what we just read. Always read Scripture in its context. He drew them to a hill. Jesus begins to share. The disciples are gathered around him, and what did he start to say? Blessed are you. And he started naming them. The poor in spirit, those who mourn for sin. And he gave us what we call the Beatitudes. We know them as the marks of a disciple. Verses 13 through 16 are the living out of the Beatitudes. See, it follows right after that. He goes, okay, here, boom, boom, boom. This is what marks the life of my followers. And because those mark your life, you are salt. You are light because of them. In a sense, verses 13 to 16 are the working definition for the Beatitudes. His work was never meant to come into us and stop there, but then to go through us. His working. Not something we work up, but something we allow and are available for is the idea. The Holy Spirit works these things into our lives. And then we are these things, and that's his challenge here, as we are available to do so. And that's the calling. Let's take a look at some of these characteristics of salt and light. You've seen some of these, or just to remind us and think about it. And then there's going to, by the time we're through this morning, there's going to be a sort of challenge for all of us. But let's think about it. The starting point in both of these examples that Jesus chooses, salt and light, is he's going to point to them as how they influence their environment. He's using things that influence, change, impact their environment. And that's what we're to do. Look at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. So it's pretty straightforward, right? But if the salt loses flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So, what do we know about salt? Well, salt has a lot of characteristics. But probably the main reason Jesus uses salt here is because of its one of its main uses in that day. And that is salt in that day in particular, it still can be used for that today, but in that day in particular was as a preservative. They did not have refrigeration. And so to preserve meat and fish and all, you would take it and you'd rub salt all over it. With the goal of, the idea is, as that salt was rubbed on the substance, on the meat or the fish or whatever, the idea is it would slow down the decaying effect. It would hinder the corruption, if you will, of the environment upon the fish. They would catch all these fish in the Galilee. They want to get it down to Jerusalem to sell them. You take that fish out of the water in Galilee and start walking down to Jerusalem. No one's going to buy that thing when you get there. Not going to be too tasty. What's going to happen? You got to fillet it, and they rub salt all over them. Salt the fish. Then take them down. Because the salt hindered the corruption, the decaying effect of the environment on the fish. Pretty straightforward example. But the idea here is that's us. We are salt. And he places us in our environment, in our culture, in our home, neighborhood, office, all those places, with the goal that we would also hinder the corruption around us. We would slow down, if you will, the impact of the rottenness that's around us. You are that salt. Just you're walking in the Lord, abiding in the Lord, loving the Lord, doing things His way makes you different. And you are having a salty effect if you're letting Him have that effect through you, if you're expressing that work, if you're living out what He's making you. But that's the challenge, but consider the call here. Now, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit working in the believer's life, He applies us to this earth, so to speak, to hinder and slow down the corruption. Now, as the Lord uses us in that way to kind of slow down the corruption around us and all, the world doesn't like that, typically. The world today, more and more, thinks, you know, the world thinks it'd be a lot better off if the Christians weren't around. See, in their mind, the Christians get in the way of them having fun, get in the way of science and progress or something. They come up with all these things, like somehow you're in the way of all these things that we want to do, and forward we go, and you Christians are in the way. They think they'd be better off without Christians. Well, you know, one of these days they will be. The Bible says one of these days Christians are going to be caught up out of here. It's called the rapture. Will the world be better off when the Holy Spirit and all the followers are gone? Who knew? Read your Bible. Things go south in a hurry. But for now, we are the salt. We are having an influence on people and the culture around us. Or at least, we're supposed to be. That's supposed to be the point. Now, salt, of course, has other features that we can apply to here and go on and do a whole message on each one. Time won't allow it. We know that salt adds flavor. You put this on your French fries because it tastes... You don't say, I think I'll put it on there and ruin my arteries. You put it on for the flavor. That's what salt does. It flavors things. We as salt are to flavor this life. Christians should have the most zest and joy because of the love of God, the purpose of God, the design, how He made our lives, what He's doing and all. We should have that. We should be the people who have the joy and zest. We should add flavor. Salt creates thirst, of course. You know that. Get the popcorn out, put a bunch of salt, start eating it. Pretty soon you're like, I need to go get a Pepsi or something, because it creates thirst. We create thirst, meaning as the world sees God working in us. See, the world is thirsty for peace and joy and love and forgiveness. Well, we have that. And as we live that out, there should be that, and it will be a creating a thirst. People go, well, I want to know about that. I want that. And they're drawn to it. We are the salt of the earth. Salt heals. Sometimes you have a sore throat. What do? You gargle with salt. At least us old-timers do that. You know, I know there's all this medicine around. In the old days, you get a cold sore, pile on the salt. By the way, how does that feel when you do that? Really good, huh? No! You have a wound. You go in the ocean, get salt in it. Ow! It's healing it. It quickens the healing. But it what? It stings. And when we're applied to this world, I think the world will be excited sometimes when we point out what God would have or His call. It stings and people react to it. But the point is that healing effect for salt. So all those things apply to us as we abide and live in Him and as we go express it out there. These are the things He's talking about. A lot of things can be pointed to as characteristics of salt. But read verse 13 again, but notice the emphasis here. You are the salt of the earth. Straightforward. That's not where he camps. What does he say? But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So the idea of salt as an agent of influence is pretty straightforward. We understand that. You are salt. But his question is, are you being that influence that I want to be through you? Are you available for that? Are you responding to what this world needs and I want you to do? So the focus is, you're salt. He says, but if salt has lost its flavor, what good is it? It's missing out. It's not fulfilling its purpose. The same for us. See, the danger he's talking about here is that the salt would lose its flavor. The danger is that we would lose our distinctiveness. That we'd be tempted to compromise and become like the world. You don't shake this on your meat because it already tastes like meat. You want the taste of salt. And the Lord wants us to be salt when we're applied to the circumstances we're in. But that only occurs as we are different, as we are distinctive. And so that's what he's talking about here. There is a temptation today, and we seem to see it, where people are just getting progressively more afraid of being different. Because we do get labeled as something or another, and off it goes. And today, even churches kind of do that. You see somebody advertise this, come to our church, we're just like out there, we'll ask nothing of you, you'll never have to change. You know, we never bring up hell or heaven or the gospel, we'll just keep it all cool. That's not salt. That's being exactly like, that's the danger. It's the danger of compromise. That's the danger of losing our flavor, our distinctiveness. And what's it say here? If we lose our saltiness, we're good for nothing in terms of the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation or something. But in terms of coming into why we're created and how God wants to use us, we're not good for that. We must stay different from the world and not let the world dictate. Not let the world change us, but bring His salt, His saltiness, to bear upon the world. Well, let's talk about light for a moment. We have to scoot along here. Look at verse 14. His next example. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Again, we are salt, says it now. We are light. You don't make yourself light. You are light. Ephesians 5:8, Paul says, there it is, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Just one of other scriptures we could use, but one of them, pointing out the same thing Jesus says here, not go become it, work hard to be it, but you are. You once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, because the Lord's in you. You are light, but now walk as it. That's the idea. That's the impact idea. Now walk as it. Go out and live it out. Let your light shine is the call. We live in a spiritually dark world. We know that. And that's why Jesus came, and one description of Him coming was what? He came as a light. He is the light. He came as the light of the world. Now, as God's light, Jesus reveals the problem. His perfection reveals man's imperfection. His light reveals the sin and man's nature and all. But it also reveals the cure, the way out. It reveals Jesus. And now, He calls us light. He came as the light, takes up residence in us. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Spirit in us says, now you're light. Go shine for me in the environments where I put you. The example, again, it's straightforward, easy to take in, easy to understand. But read it again now, noting the emphasis, just like the previous verse 13, look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. Okay, straightforward. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. We are light. We are cities on a hill. He's trying to use examples they could see. Maybe he sat there and pointed over to a city as he was speaking on the mountain. I don't know. But he goes, you can't hide that. You don't light a candle and then put something over it, and put a basket over it. So what's the call? We are lights. Don't hide Him. Don't hide Him. When you're in that situation, don't hide Jesus. Let Him shine through you. See the danger? again, it's always a dangerous compromise and holding back, and is the danger of holding our light. Light's purpose is to give light. If all the lights went off and I turn this light on, I got a flashlight, and you're going, yoo-hoo, and I go, here it is. You'd say, let the light out. We need the light. Shine the light. That's the purpose of it. No. That light's a light. Even when the light is turned off, it's still a light. But it's only effective. Its purpose is turn it on. Shine. And that's our part. Like I said, walk as children of the light. Let him work through you. That's going to mean doing, saying, being available, not holding back. That's the call in all this. He's asking us to check our light factor, our saltiness factor. That's what Jesus is challenging us about here. To put a light under a basket is to negate its purpose. To not let the light shine through us negates our purpose. Philippians 2, starting at verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, now notice, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'm going to finish the sentence out. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Just want to put the whole sentence up there. But the focus there is, as a people, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We live in a perverse and a crooked generation. And Jesus in you just makes you different. And you're shining out into this world is what it's about. Now look at verse 16. Based on all of that, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So now we come to one main purpose, one goal in all of this saltiness and shining and all. So our Father in heaven will be glorified. They'd be drawn to Him. They'd want to know Him. And indeed, the corruption would be held back. Their path would be lit. Whatever the specific application might be. But notice some key words here. What's the first word of verse 16? Let. Let your light. Again, see, that's our part. As I said, you're children of light now, but walk as it, Paul wrote. Same idea here. Let it. As we walk close to the Lord, if we abide in Him, He will shine through us. But we have our part. We can try to hide it and hold back or let Him go. Let Him shine. Talk about what He's done. Point to who He is. Point to His Word. Let it. And also notice another word. Let your light so shine. So points to how we do this. It means we do things in such a way, what? That people know it's God and not us. We don't do it for showmanship and getting all the glory. Put my name up in lights. Woo, I did a good work. No. We do it simply at His leading. And it points to Him. It's to give Him the glory. But notice this. Notice that. Jesus correlates our light shining with what? Look at that. Let your light so shine before men that they see what? Your good intentions? No. To see what a basically nice guy you are? No. That they'll see your good works. We are not saved by works. Paul wrote about that in Ephesians 2, and he did an awesome job, of course. God's leading him. But he talks about that. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? All through Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10, right through there. So you're saved by faith. We don't do works to get saved, but what's he go on to say there? He says you're saved by faith. Not by works, Paul says, not by works, lest any man should boast. But the very next verse says, but you're saved unto good works. Not saved by them, but saved for them. That God might then work in and through us, that He might get the glory. And so that's, again, it's just Jesus saying the same thing here, of course. Same idea. These aren't good deeds that the world does that points to the doer. Look at how much he gave to the Red Cross and all those things. That's not what it's talking about. These are those things we do motivated by His love, empowered by the Holy Spirit, directed by God, and done to His glory. Authored by Him, done by Him, through us, all about Him. That's the idea. Done in humility. Done with a sense of, God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. But then He does it, and people go, whoa, that's God. See, that's the idea here. And the result, and they will, it says, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. See, if they see this, if they're exposed to it, if they're touched by it, it says that they see it and they glorify your Father in heaven, they must somehow make the connection. The people must somehow be making the connection here. If we don't say something in the midst of this thing, if it's not done in a way that people can see that's God doing it, then they mistake us for nice people. But instead, this points out here, this idea that we're to do these things in such a way that people know. Well, how's that going to happen? Only as we do it with Him as our motive, Him as our purpose, Him as our resource. And then people will say, that's God doing it. And that's the idea here. Well, salt, light, pretty straightforward. But again, a light under a bushel. A light under a bushel is still a light. Salt with no flavor is still salt, I guess, technically, I don't know. But they're not going to do anybody any good in that condition, that place. They're not fulfilling the purpose for which they exist. We exist to bring glory to God. To glorify Him, to enjoy Him, to love Him. And these examples show that Jesus, His eyes are still on the lost. God's heart, His eyes are always on the lost. And so He puts out these examples to say, I want to use you to reach them. And you're going to do that by being salt and light in that environment. Salt and light work by entering the circumstances around them. We must be shaken out of the shaker if we're going to have impact. If we're going to have any effect, we got to get out of the shaker and onto the circumstance, onto the need, onto the situation, if we're going to be salt. Again, salt in a container, light under a bucket can have little or no influence. Can have no influence, really. We must be shaken out. Salt is dispersed. It's effective when it's rubbed on or dissolved. We will have to give of ourselves if we're going to have any effect. Again, salt can say, please leave me in here where it's all warm and I just hang out with all this other salt that's just like me. Lord, please just let me stay in church and see my Christian friends and don't make me stick out. And let me just stay warm and fuzzy. Lord says, no, you got to get out of there and out of the situation. And to do that, it's going to be dissolved or dispersed or spread out. We must get beyond our boundaries, die to ourselves, be available, give of ourselves. We will be dispersed, so to speak. But Jesus said, hang on to your life and you'll lose it. Lose your life for Him and you'll find it. It's in the being dispersed. It's in the giving out. And God is faithful. He pours in more than you give out. He just keeps this whole awesome process going. But the point is, there's going to be a giving. You got to be out there. So we must be shaken out. The flashlight, the lamp, it must be on if it's going to have any impact. And it's not the meat. Fault if the salt has lost its saltiness. You can't blame the world if we aren't impacting others. It's not the world's fault. Salt is different from that in which it is placed. It has to be. It's by design. That's how salt is effective. Again, if salt becomes like what it's placed on, it's lost its point. And we can never affect this world by becoming like the world. The figures of salt and light remind us that it's the life marked by the Beatitudes. And a life marked by the Beatitudes is not a life lived out in isolation. We, unfortunately, can sometimes be drawn to saying, Lord, I want to stay safe. Just put me in the cabinet and I'll be happy as can be. But that's a life lived out with the Beatitudes, the Holy Spirit working the Beatitudes in our life, is not a life lived in isolation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, 7. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Not of us. Totally lines up with what we're just reading this morning, huh? That God has caused light. The God who made light to shine has shown his light into our hearts. But we have this treasure in these earthen vessels, these faulty vessels. Salt's a pretty common substance. So are we. But he uses us. Why? So the glory and all would go to him. Let him. Let him just use you in that circumstance. And I know this is a stretch, and I know it can seem kind of, but you'll never regret it. Salt and light, they have a main purpose, and that is to be salt and light. And if they lose or don't function in that purpose, they miss out on what they are for. The call is to walk in the Lord, abide in the Lord, and do that, and we will have flavor. If we will do that, we will shine. We are light, we are salt, and if we will abide in Him and walk in Him, off comes the cover. Out of the shaker we go. It's exactly the calling. I have in my hand here a little packet of salt. Again, it will do no good, the salt in here, in this packet of salt, unless it gets out of the packet and onto the need. It is salt, but it has to get out of this and onto the need to fulfill its purpose. Same for us. So I ask you to take a moment. You've been good students. We've worshiped. We heard the examples of the kids today. Much to take from all this, but I ask you to take just another few moments. How might God want to get us out of our packet and on to some circumstances around us? Don't answer aloud, but think about that. How might God want to get you out of you, out of that safety zone, and shake you out of your shaker onto some circumstances around you? Not the other person, us. How might He want us to get out of our packet and into the needs around us, in that office, in that classroom, amongst those friends, with those relatives, whatever it might be? How might God want to get you out of the packet and into your circumstances? We are salt. We are light. He has made us so, He declares it. But now He said, here's your danger. Your danger is losing your impact, not being all God would have you to be. It's called shine. Get the cover off and just shine. Get out of the shaker for Him. What does that mean practically? It doesn't mean go out of here and grab the first person you see, wrestle them to the ground, twist them and start hitting them with your Bible. That's not. We're not talking about some strident, pushy, weird presentation. But on the other hand, we are talking about say something where you might have not said something before when the opportunity is given you. Share your heart. People can pick up on that when you really care. You don't have your seminary degree and you're all eloquent and all the right words, but all you know is, you know what? I see you're hurting and I was hurting and let me share. Just say something. Invite them. Hey, they're talking about temptation in the women's study this week. And man, why don't you come with me? We'll check it out. See what the Lord has about this. Because sure, we sure got a lot of temptation around us, huh? Yeah. Let's go check it out. Or something like that. Just say something, do something, invite, share. You're standing around working, or maybe you're with friends or something, and they begin to, you know, they say, you hear somebody saying, maybe you're at work and you're on a break. Now, while you're working, be a good worker. But you're sitting there at lunchtime or something, and the other guy says, I just wish I knew if there was a purpose in life. Or, gosh, I wonder if there's a God. And you sit there going, I wonder if this is it. Maybe not. I better not. No, say, well, you know, here's what I found. Or, you know what, I used to think the same thing. And believe me, man, I was thirsty and I just found some water. And it sounds to me like you're wondering if there's some spiritual water around. Or whatever the Lord gives you. It was just to plant a seed or something. But do something. Say something is the calling. Thank God that the guy named Steve, we were all huddled around the table in the chow hall up in the middle of nowhere. Thank God he said something when I turned and said, well, what, we're all sitting there talking about life and how we think the world is and all. I turned to Steve and I said, well, what do you think? And he looked at me and he said, I've been praying for this for 9 months. And began to share lovingly. Thank God he did. Because God used him to bring me to the Lord. I think about when Kathy and I, when I got out of the military, yeah, got saved in the military, and now I'm going to go through the big testimony thing there beyond what I just did. But we settled back up in Orange County. We came from there, went back there, going to go to college, got a little apartment. Brand new apartment, just got out of the service. We needed a refrigerator. Went over to Sears. That's where you got replies in those days. So, didn't have Costco. Anyway, but, you know, he went over to Sears, got our refrigerator. The delivery man, young man, brings the refrigerator out, and he's putting in our little apartment, and he sees something that indicates that maybe we're Christians. I don't know, we had a Bible laying there or something. But he says, oh, are you guys Christians? And we, yeah. Have you seen what's going on down at the corner of Fairview and Sunflower Streets? There's a big old circus tent down there, and God is doing awesome things. That was back in 73, kind of in the full-blown of the Jesus movement. And if you don't know, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa was the epicenter for that. And at that point, they used to meet in a big tent. They rented a big circus tent while they built a church, a building. And so we went and checked out what was going on in this tent over at this corner up at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And now here we sit. A pastor at Calvary Chapel, because somebody opened their mouth. Invite, share, do something. And maybe you'll walk away, well, I could have done better. That's God's turf. Just share your heart and you watch. How might God want to get you out of your packet and into the circumstances around you? I'm going to invite the worship team up to wrap up our time this morning. If you haven't received Jesus as Savior, you're not salt yet, you're not light, and you're not saved. But He wants you to be. Go to the prayer room as we wrap it up. Tell the prayer partners you want to receive Jesus as your Savior. Start there. But if you've done that, believer, we are salt, we are light. Here comes the challenge. I warned you. I told you it was coming. Here's your challenge. By the way, you don't have to do this. If you say, that's not me, that's weird. Okay, but I want to do something. Up here at the front of the stage, you'll find four bowls. And in these bowls are, yep, packets of salt. If you feel so led, so challenged, so convicted, I encourage you, as we wrap up in song, and if not during the song, that's fine. Just maybe as we all head out, before you head out, swing by up front. There's no exact timing to this. It's simply an opportunity and a challenge. I want to challenge you. Come down here and, if you feel so led, just grab one packet of salt. And then I'm going to ask you to do something. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your purse. But make sure it's somewhere that you can then take it and put it on your desk at work, your workbench at work, the counter at home, the kitchen counter at home, somewhere. Or just keep it in your pocket if, you know, if it's that's a handy place, somewhere where you're going to all of a sudden during the day touch it. Oh, yeah, that packet of salt. You're working, all of a sudden you look over and there's that packet of salt. Again, you can do this just for a couple of days. you might want to make it, look, let's do it from Sunday to next Sunday. Again, no rules, however you feel led to. But maybe that's one way to go about this, whatever you feel led to. But all I'm saying is when you see it, when you feel it in your pocket, let it speak to you of this calling to be salt and light. Let it challenge us, remind us we are salt. Lord, how can I get out of that packet right now in my circumstances or in my life or some way with this neighbor or this cashier, whatever, Lord, as you need. But let us be a challenge. Lord, I am salt. Now, how do you want to get me out of this packet? And just carry it around for a few days or for a week and just see what God does about this. Let it be that kind of thing that basically says, you are salt, now act on it. Say something, do something. So let it be a challenge. The salt will do no good if it stays in the packet. The same for us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have declared, and so we rest in that truth, you've changed us. We are indeed new creations. We are your salt. We are light because of you taking up residence. The Holy Spirit in residence within us. Lord, you have made us those things. But Father, then you lovingly set this challenge before us. How is our saltiness factor? Do we have a cover over the flashlight of our lives? Father, forgive us when there's been compromise or holding back. And help us, Lord, to go forward available, not weirding out, Lord, not being pushy and being opposite of what you'd call us to, but Lord, help us to be bolder in the right way, to shine your love as you'd have us to point to you, to be salty, to resist the corruption and point to you, Lord, and whatever that means, in whatever circumstances you put us, Lord, have your way in it. And may in the end, Lord, bottom line, may people see you. May people give you the glory through it all. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. May he who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who works in and through you, and as he does that, may it all be to proclaim his praises all to his glory. Amen.